Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun or goes based on the data you have printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going, fine.
Okay, Retro,
go.
Fido,
go.
Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
GNC,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And, oh boy, what a beautiful day in the Sierra Nevadas. I got a little bit of tuning to do here. Okay, a little bit of extra volume always helps on the pot there, on the main board. Yeah, I got the studio fired up. We had a great day. Absolutely beautiful weather for the first time in God knows how long. I'm just thrilled at being able to get outside and get some things done. Spent the day burning, and I actually pulled down a tree. I shouldn't have done this because of my surgery and all, but I reasoned it out and used leverage, baby, and I was able to pull this about a 400-pound tree, big giant limb sticking up there, and I managed to pull it sideways, and it came crashing down, and I ran like hell. So got that all squared away. Lots and lots of burning done, and we're getting this place back online. Was up late last night talking to my cousin up in Montana. I have family in western Montana, and turns out he is having quite a few paranormal experiences. And as long as I don't say names, I think we're safe. But it's interesting to see the similarities that people go through with paranormal everything. And the types of things that go on, with spirits that come in and will start messing with someone who's just developing ability, which is happening to my cousin. And then his children are being, when my cousin's not around at his house, his children are being messed with. So it's really, it's been something else. I was advising him on some, different things to do and different protective capabilities that he can get into. But that's what this is all about when we go out and do paranormal investigation. And, it's great to do the cases. It's great to go out and experience really interesting phenomena. But, when it gets down to it, it's real live people, going through experiences that are, to them, can be terrifying. To them can be extremely disconcerting. And so that was brought home to me last night in no uncertain terms that these kind of things do freak people out. He's handling it pretty well, my cousin. I've got to give him this. He's a pretty tough customer. I gave him some ideas and different resources to look at, and basically committed to help him through this. And remind myself that when I get back to this full time, which I'm now just now that I'm feeling better and I'm getting out and doing things. GRI is going to get back into the game. It's been about a 5-month hiatus, between me and Spencer with his family and surgeries and everything. So Dad, my father, as many of you know, has been going through some difficult times. And just before I start the show with GHI and all those guys, who are great to have them back. But Dad has been going through some real tough times. And I was going to do a Soulstream show on Thursday night. And he started having issues. And then Friday night, same thing. And I was going to go for Saturday. And I just said, the heck with it. So we're going to try again for next week for Soulstream. And it's pretty much on a as-I-can-do-it basis. I'm able to do Sundays. It seems like Sundays things don't go wrong. I don't know what it is. But the rest of the week, it's always pretty much of a crapshoot. So we're going to just play it by ear. But I really miss doing readings. I really miss mediumship. And I will be back. You can bet on it. So anyway, we've got Ghost Hunters Incorporated out of Pennsylvania. Been on the show many times. They're great guys, and they do some amazing EVP work and go out and, you know, stand toe-to-toe with invisibles and entities and things that go bump in the night. And so we're really proud to have them back on to finish what we started last week, which was a really great show. Had a lot of listeners. I was, by the way, guys, I never got back to you. We had quite a few archive listens. So you guys bring in the traffic, and people pay attention to what you're doing. Let's see. We're going to go ahead and bring the boys on. And by the way, Scott, I tried to find that audio. I ended up seeing that you sent me two EVP, the Junior League email. So I think I just uploaded everything and took a scientific, you know what, guess. So anyway, I'm going to bring the guys on. I've got two 717s and a 610. So I think that 610 is Alan. So, okay, guys, everybody, are you all there?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello.
I'm in a barbershop quartet.
What? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, actually, I was thinking more like the Three Stooges, you know. The Four Stooges. Actually, they were Four Stooges.
You're probably closer there.
Hello, hello, hello. Yeah, hey, good. How are you guys doing? How was your week?
Good.
Well, I can't complain. My week was all right. And, like we did last week, we were kind of anticipation of the show, so that went good. And, well, this week's even better because now I get to relax a week and get paid for it. So it's our vacation week this week. So everything's fine and dandy out this way.
Okay. Well, we had great weather today, as you were listening, and you guys were hearing me do some practice stuff. It was funny. I was sitting there, you know, doing some practice work, and when I do these shows, I always kind of play it out in my head what I'm going to do. And also, I look up, and I've got guys dialed in, and they're listening to this nutcase, and they're practicing in the studio. So my apologies, but that's how I work, you know. That's how we roll here at GRI. Anyway, so but today, you know, we've got a whole bunch of EVPs in there. I don't remember quite where we left off, but we can work through that. Scott had one of the Junior League EVPs that he said was one of his best, where his name was called out, and I think it might be the Scott and Lisa one. Is that true, Scott?
Well, it's that one, but the one that actually says best scares name, which is Don Ream. That was another one.
Oh, boy. Well, I tried my best. I took all the Junior League ones that were in the emails and loaded them all up so we could just work through them, and if we do some repeats. I've got the Junior League Hate Ghost Box, How Many Here, Lester Cool. There's another one, Lester. How Many Here, League Lester, Lester Year, League Lisa, and then Scott and Lisa. So would that Scott and Lisa be have at least part of that one?
No, that's not it, because I think it's here. I can tell you exactly what it's called, tell you the truth. I won't tell you.
Okay, go ahead and find that. Anyway, they've got a whole bunch of EVPs, not only here that we'll be playing here, but if you guys could, one of you could post your URL in the chat room for our listeners, and that would be really good so everybody can get that. I feel bad because I usually have that stuff all pre-scoped, and I didn't do my job because I was burning things. It's kind of, you know, a rocket thing. I was burning things. Yeah, we like to burn stuff in Rocketville here. Anyway, so let's Let's find out where you guys want to start. Is Scott still figuring this out? Oops, we lost someone. I think we lost.
I'm actually here, Scott. So I am looking for that name of that file right now. I try to play it over my phone to the speaker. I'm not sure how well it would be if you don't have it. It's kind of, to us, it's kind of clear.
Okay. I can try to, I'm not equipped in the studio for this, the way I've changed the studio around. If you have it as a URL, too, by the way, on your website, then we can post that, too, and get that out for folks. And I might be able to pull it off a little later, but let's just go in. Do you remember where we left off? Because we had just a ton of these. I think we were like at Farm Delta, if I remember right. And we had done that. We'd done Battlefield.
The one that I'm talking about, it says Ghostbox says Dom's full name. Do you have that one?
Because I was looking for one that said Scott based on the message, IM I got from you the other day. So I'm looking. Where was that at? At the?
I was in a junior league, yeah.
Junior league?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I've got Hate Ghostbox, Junior League, Aunt Jo Lester, and a whole bunch of that, but I don't think I have that one. And Alan's back. He dropped off. Alan was struck by lightning and now has mysteriously reincarnated. He's back. But Alan, how was the lightning?
Actually, it was very invigorating. Got a chance to hang out with a few of my ghostly friends, but I had to come back for the show.
Okay, good. We're glad you reincarnated here just to come back for the show. It's always great to have that happen. By the way, I neglected a basic duty of the host. Oh, my goodness. We have in the chat room, oh, good Lord, I'm out of practice here. We've got Alan is Ghost Radio, you know, the man who just reincarnated. Kathy's Distant Echoes. Hello, Kathy. Daniel Adam is here, and we have Jeannie Marie, who's my co-pilot on tonight's show, although she's not dialed in, but we're going to play a special song for her at the end of the show. Anyway, Mystic Chava is here. Hi, Mystic, and you've got the same orange thing I do, and Open Wings with Hazel. Hello, dear, and Texas Gal Zero is back. What the heck?
Oh, that's my dogs. Hold on.
It was some dog EVP. I think I'm going to go ahead and get that recorded. We'll try to play it back and see. Yeah, reverse bark.
Somebody outside just blew the horn. So, stop it right now.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Scott, maybe we can use him out at the Captain Captain Phillips investigation on the 16th.
All I'll do is bark.
He's probably drinking some of Scott's beer. I wonder if they'd have beer for dogs. I don't know. So anyway, where are we at? I you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and play a few, and we'll just kind of get the show going that way, because we're having a rough start here, but we're going to just dive right in. I'm just going to go with this Aunt Jo Lester one from Junior League. So can anybody tell a story on that while we're getting the other one sorted out?
I'll tell you from memory from what Scott told me, because I wasn't in on it, but him and Lisa were up in the kitchen again. All these came from the kitchen on the third floor.
Yeah.
And I guess he asked who he was talking to, I think.
Okay. Here we go. Well, we're going to go ahead and play it at, let me see what I've got here for that. I think it's at 100%. Nope, that's at 50%. Let me take it up to 70. I'll try that. And here we go. Aunt Jo Lester, Junior League.
Is there anyone else to get the current Aunt Jo here? Right here?
I can hear that.
So Aunt Jo can hear. Can you give me a name of somebody who's here? Lester? Did you say Lester?
Now, that sounds like a ghost box. Was that what you guys were using on that?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's really rare. You hear, you know, live interaction like that. That's, I mean, you guys are doing some neat stuff there to get, you know, literally conversational EVP going.
Mm-hmm.
Is this like routine for you guys now? I mean, this is kind of a new angle on. I haven't seen this too many times.
We try when we can. Sometimes we don't get very good reception, but if we can get reception, then what we try.
And it basically depends on our mood too, John. You know, we'll switch around. Sometimes if something works, we'll go with it. If it don't, then we'll switch with something else. So it varies from investigation to investigation.
What sort of ghost box was it? Was it a shack hack or like a custom build or something like that?
Yeah, it's the shack hack. We have two of them. We have the 470 or the 469 or the 1269 shack hack, and we also have the 470. So them two is what we use most of the time at this point. And of course, other than our digital voice recorders.
Now, do you what do you tend to go with, FM or AM? On those?
Now, personally, I like using the FM just because it's a lot more quiet. And my personal opinion, you know, I don't know what's done, like everybody has their own thing, but my personal opinion, if you scan the FM, a lot of times it's a whole lot more, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, close to the original white noise. And there's even sometimes that if I find a good station that's clear, I'll just stay on one station. So, again, it depends on the mood, if I'm adventurous or that sort of thing. Now, and like I said, Scott and Don, they probably have their own little technique. Everybody has their difference, so. But that's mine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about how we go. I tend to go with single frequency, you know, when we do the on-air stuff. And it's usually, here in my area, anything over 100 megahertz, I seem to have really good luck with, and I generally go about 103 megahertz, and it seems to be right about there. I get really good results, and I don't know if is it just something local to my area, or is it something that the other side kind of likes those higher frequencies? But I agree with you. I mean, the whole thing with the white noise, the similarity is there, and I like the FM personally, you know, better for that reason. Although I've had some interesting stuff with AM. You know, in my first experience with the Ghost Box was with AM, and we got some pretty wild results with it. So I guess it just depends on the circumstance. I think he dropped off. I was talking to dead air.
No, worries.
He dropped off again.
All
we
right,
lost him. Yeah, okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to watch for him to pop back in. So, Alan, poor Alan's having a tough time with the phones tonight. Anyway, we got the Hate Ghost Box, and I think we did play some of these last week, but I'm just going to go through them, and we'll just roll on from there because I was going in order, as I remember now. So, same thing, Junior League, and I think Lester says he hates the Ghost Box. So, here we go.
Allie, wait for the water.
Wow. I mean,
in the middle of that, at the Hate Ghost Box, it sounded like me, a voice saying, "You have to tame the monster."
Yeah.
It's right in the middle. That's what it sounded like to us. That's kind of scary to me.
That's I've heard that reported and actually had experience with it in some of our cases where we've had our voices mimicked. And it seems like it's a mocking kind of thing. Okay, Alan's back here. I'll bring him in. And hey, Alan, you're back. Reincarnation.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. There was an interesting experience. I don't know if you guys have had this happen. Have you ever had an investigator cited who, you know, somebody says they see a particular person, and yet that person is in another part of the building, and yet someone claims they saw that, you know, one of those investigators or somebody, you know, basically two places at once? Have you ever had that?
I haven't personally had that. I don't know about the other.
I haven't either. That would be
neither have I.
Wow.
I think.
Yeah, it's something I've actually, boy, we lost Alan again. He's just having a tough time with the phone. But it's something, yeah, poor guy, he's just, Alan, you need a new provider. But we actually had an experience here, and it was with me here on the ranch. And this was about 4 weeks ago. I was in the kitchen getting coffee, and my mother yells out at me, "Was that just you, John?" And I'm going, "Huh?" And she comes back with, she goes, "I just saw you walk through the hall." And I go, "I'm over here." And this, she said it was a virtual duplicate of me. And I'm just blown away that this kind of stuff happens. But more often than not, though, it's the EVPs where they're mimicking our voices. And I guess if they can pull it off, they'll even try to look like us if they can manifest.
Yeah. Doppelganger.
Yeah, true doppelgangers. Yeah, another member of my family has actually had this happen to them, and so I don't know what to think of it as a phenomena. I don't know if you know, like with the EVP, is it? Do you think that it may have a that they're paying attention to you and or trying to almost, you know, appear as you and kind of mess with your head? I mean, what do you think the purpose of that is?
I don't. I can't say good the purpose of that. Why would you want to? I'm thinking it's more sinister, I would think, than anything. Why would you want? I don't know. That's what I'm feeling about that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was leading it. That's kind of the feeling I have. You know, generally higher level entities aren't going to be doing that, and that's the thing. I'm not going to say demonic, but I, you know, they're not nice, the ones that do that.
Well, I wouldn't go there either.
Yeah, it's just you know, it's not nice. Or you're just throwing your voice into ventriloquism, but no, you're not doing that. Poor Alan, I'm just watching like a hawk for him, and the man is. I think he's getting in a car and going to a restaurant to dial in. I really think that's possibly where, or he's beating the hell out of the phone. So, but the poor guy, he told me he was looking forward to this all week. Oh my God, we got Elizabeth Rose has joined us from Z Talk Radio, so she's in. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, Rose. How's it going, girlfriend?
Yeah, Dance with an Angel is here. You know, so good to see her, and yeah, old friends are popping in. Good to see people still remember. Hello, hi, big hugs. So anyway, now we've got that. That was good. I hate Ghost Box. Now, there's the Junior League. How many here? We're going to go ahead and play that.
Mark.
John, you are here.
Again, how many of you are here? You're trying to help me check. Don't be shy. We're all friends here. Because your name is precise.
That, again, conversational EVP. And, you know, I've heard stuff like this in some of the old EVP conversations when, at the beginning of when ITC occurred. And I see a 484 area code coming in. I don't know.
That might be him.
That might be him on a different setup.
Yeah, different line. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Let me go ahead and pop him on here. If I can get the... come on, turn into a mic.
John, if you want, I got that EVP you can try. That one about Don Ream. I can try pointing over the speaker I have, and I can explain the story behind it if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead and Alan, is that you, 484?
Yeah, that's me. I switched over to the cell phone. I don't know why my doggone cordless just keeps cutting off and on. So I think let's try the luck with the cell. Maybe that'd be better. So I'm back in there, guys. So hopefully,
all right. Good, and you sound so much better on this phone. God, I was going. I don't have any way to change his audio because it was bad. I mean, I picked that phone and chuck it.
Yeah, probably.
It's in bad shape. But anyway, Scott's going to play his EVP over the speaker. And,
okay, well, I'll start with what actually happened. Don He always drives the investigations. God bless him. Anyways, what we try to do is try to test the intelligence of these spirits. And a lot of times we'll ask, can you say an investor's dear's name and see how intelligent they actually are?
Mm-hmm.
So my question was, can you tell me the investigator who drove me here tonight? I think he's in the basement. Go downstairs, ask his name, and come back up and tell me. So go ahead, and after I do the evidence review on it, we actually heard it when we were actually playing the ghost box. I actually heard it at that time. But when I reviewed the evidence, after I said about going downstairs to the basement, it says he's on first floor. It's the first thing you'll hear. And then after that, you'll hear, I said, do you tell me his name? And it says Donald Green. Now, what's weird about this is Don, when we first broke up into our groups, Don said he was going to the basement.
Yeah.
But Alan and Nancy beat him to it. So actually him and Susie were on the first floor. So
That's good evidence, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really is supportable, that you can put that out there and say, yeah, this is the real deal.
Yeah, I'm going to try it for my laptop speaker. I'm not guaranteeing anything here, but listening for, first floor, and then Donald Green, we still hear pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to try it once.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a double response, so it's pretty neat.
And I'll tell you what, we'll take at 9 o'clock what we'll do while he's getting ready. What we'll do is we'll take a brief break, and if, Scott, if you can mail me that, I'll try to upload it during the show and see if I can get it in, and that way we could also play it a little bit later. So we'll just do a long break and then see if we can get that up on the board before the show ends. So,
okay,
but go get it. Yeah, give it a shot.
Come on right now.
I couldn't hear, so I was playing it, but I could send it to you, John. You want me to send it to your email?
Yeah, just send it to my email that you got, and what I'll do is just pull it down during the break, and we'll just play it back. I did hear something. I mean, now, was it like a male voice responding?
Yes, it sounded male to me, yep.
Okay. And with regard to this case, this junior league, one of the things, we jumped right into it, but what was this junior league case about?
That was the one where I had the experience with what I sounded like a box or a heavy piece of furniture being moved on the second floor, and there's no one up there. So whatever was there knew me, because I worked there for 2 weeks.
Yeah. And it just...
neat.
Yeah, okay, I remember this from last week, so just getting back into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard this kind of, the sound of the furniture moving up there, was there any furniture in the room, that could have done that?
There's furniture up in the front of the building. I was in the back part, but where I was hearing it is just a hall.
It sounded like it was in the hall.
And there was
no furniture in the hall that could have done that.
No. And I wasn't the only one who ever heard that. That's happened several times there.
You know, it's like, again, this is the kind of thing, like we were talking about the mimicking, where they can mimic our voices, but they also seem to have this ability to mimic the sounds of other things, like furniture or banging on different things, or even walking. I remember a TAPS episode where there was walking. It was two investigators were underground, under this building, and they were hearing was the sounds of boots walking on wood, and yet what was above them was there was no wood left. It was not a wooden floor. It was different. It was like a concrete floor above them, and so there was just no way that could you know, that could possibly happen. And it seemed to be an intelligent haunt. You know, it wasn't just some playback thing, which, you know, we can explain away as that. But I just get the feeling they've got a lot of capability to be able to pretty much make any audio effect they want for us. The more I think about it, and it's something I really haven't given a lot of thought to, what is the range of their capabilities with producing effects like that? I mean, have you guys ever thought about some of the, you know, some of that, you know, I mean, have you ever sat back and looked at all your EVPs and start looking, you know, picking out patterns and start thinking about that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, you tend to wonder, you know, how do they make that sound? There's nothing there to make it. Yeah, I've saw that several times, and how they can do it. If they can do that, you know, what else can they do?
Well, you know, I mean, we've seen the patterns repeatedly where when you go out in a particular investigation and you start noticing that the phenomena that you're running into seem to be near stone, you know, granite, limestone, mm-hmm. things like that. And when you look at the components of those minerals, there's an awful lot of similarity to the things that we have in computers, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, different quartz, different rare earth elements, things like that. Are all in these minerals, and you got to wonder if it's basically they're using it almost like circuitry. I mean, because there's physics going on here. I mean, when we talk about the supernatural, it's not supernatural. It's just natural that we don't know the rules for yet. And obviously, they have some ability to manipulate time, space, and matter in ways we just can't friggin' understand, or even fathom the reasons why they're doing it. You know, I mean, we have some ideas from a spiritual perspective. You know, with regard to the fact that there is an emotional component to why they're there, quite a bit of the time. But then there's the ones that seem to just get a kick out of screwing with us. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, have they ever played tricks on you guys? I know I'm jumping kind of out of our EVP format, but going back in your experiences, have you ever had them play tricks on you and do all kinds of different things that kind of got your goat or were messing with you?
Well, we had my very first investigation with the group. We asked for a knock, and we'd hear it in the back bedroom. We'd go back there. You know, we're here now. We got our attention. We knock again, and it would be in the hall. We go to the hall. We'd hear the knock in the kitchen. We go to the kitchen. It'd be in another bedroom. And we did this for a half hour. We chased this thing around.
Yeah, that's another common thing. It's funny. My mother had that experience. We went down to Halloween night here on the ranch, and there's a woman who's buried on the property about 300 feet to my left here in Studio A. Named Ann, we call her Anna, and she's manifested here and done different things, and actually comes into the studio every so often. I'll actually feel her here, but we were down there and actually went and gave her some gifts on Halloween night, and it was just kind of a little thing. We thought it would be a nice little gesture, and that, you know, and we were letting her know we were going to work on her grave area there and make it a little better for her. And then that night, my mother wakes up, and there are two men having an animated conversation outside her window. And she jumps up and thinks we've got an intruder. She gets the pistol and goes out there, and she knows how to use it too. I mean, well, we live in the West. I mean, we're armed. Yeah,
strapped.
We believe. Yeah, we shoot first and ask questions. No, but
pistol
she goes
pocket.
Out there. Yeah, she had the .357 with the hammer back, and she goes out there and. And she's looking at this, you know, looking around to see what's there, and she hears them, the voices way off in the distance, so she goes chasing it. And this is at 2 in the morning. It's November 1st, 2 in the morning. So she goes out to all the way out in the woods, and then it's off on the other side of the property, and she finally realized what they're doing. And she actually, I mean, I slept through this. I would have paid money to see this because she's sitting there. She called them every name in the book and told them, you dirty sons, of, you ever come in my house again or screw around with me again, I mean, you and I are going to have a talking to. And she literally shamed them off the property. We've never had problems with those guys again. Yeah, there are a couple of jokers. I've run into them before on EVPs here on the property, and after that, they never came back.
She's only get pulling in a nightgown with fuzzy slippers, Chasey. What do you expect?
With a loaded well, .357.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't kill them. They're already dead, but, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, but that, you know, that trick they have of being able to be here, there, everywhere is just, that seems to be a story we hear repeatedly. You know, and they seem to just get a big jolly out of it. It's like funny to them. Except when you start invoking the name of God and threatening to kill him with a 357. But anyway, good Lord. What other things have they done with you guys, with your experiences? What other things have they done? You know, even if it's not so much funny, maybe a tender moment or something where they were really trying to demonstrate something to you, you know?
Down at the Riverfront Bar and Grill, we had some flashlight play. We had three different flashlights going. It was amazing. Scott said, could you please turn one on? It came on. Could you turn the second one on? It came on. Could you turn the third one on? It came on.
Whoa.
Could you turn the first one off? It went off. Could you turn the second one off? It went off. Could you turn the third one off? It went off. And a bunch of explicatives came out of my mouth because I couldn't believe it. And then he went through again. Could you turn the first one on? It came on. Could you turn the second one on? It came on.
Good
third
Lord.
One wouldn't come on. Yeah, it wouldn't come on. Third one didn't come on. But I heard a noise in the back. So I walked back there to see what was going on. Didn't see anything. Turned to walk away, and it was like a very tender grab, like, don't go. Touched my arm. All the hair stood up. Felt like electric. My arm got numb. That was awesome.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing we've had. I remember this one. It's just up the road is a town called Diamond Springs, and it's another old gold rush town out here. And I was walking through the graveyard, and I have a habit of when I'm doing graveyard EVP work, I'll read their names, and then I'll ask them a little question about themselves, and I get really interesting responses. And I got this one woman. I've never forgotten this EVP, and I'll have to dig it up and see if I can play it on air one of these times. But I ask this question about her, and I say her name, and she goes, oh, I love you. And it was really clear, and I'm just going, wow, that's really cool. And every time I go by, I say, I love you too. And when I drive by, it's just a little thing I do. Now, of course, if somebody else is in the car with me, they're going to look at me like I'm nuts. But anyway. What is that noise? I'm hearing one of you guys with a blender running?
That's not Alan's phone.
Yeah, I think he's making margaritas back there.
He solves all kinds of problems tonight.
Alan's like tired of the phones. He's getting a drink. Oh, God.
A cool hand for my laptop. That's probably what you're hearing. Got the phone line right here at the laptop.
All right. Let's see. We got Junior League Lisa here. Is that because I've got – I think we played the Lester – the what year is it thing.
Yeah,
and, but we've got Junior League Lisa. So and then I've got another one, Junior League Scott and Lisa. Are those two separate ones?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's start with Lisa. And can you give us a lead up to this one?
Well, we were just asking if they could say our names, and the first one we heard Lisa, and the second one is actually better. It says Scott and Lisa, but yeah, they're really good.
Okay, here we go. We're gonna play the first one.
Can you tell me the name of the song you played because of Padre? Yeah, go ahead.
What was that
very
saying?
End, you hear very end. You can hear Lisa. Very end.
And that is Lisa the name of the spirit that you were talking to, or is Lisa an investigator?
Yeah, Lisa's actually the investigator I was with.
But it was this now was this a female voice coming back?
That sounds like female to me. I guess that's what I thought, but that's my opinion.
And, was in, and you were playing this on the quite a few of these EVPs that we're playing tonight are from the Ghost Box, right?
Yes, a lot of them are. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are really settling in on that as a technique that you use quite a bit, you know, when you go out.
We usually at least get a chance a couple different areas. I usually get about 5 minutes, maybe 5 to 10 minutes at most, and if it's not working out, we just don't use it anymore for the night. We just stick with our APs.
Well, I think I'm gonna adopt that same technique for our investigations, because I think that's just it's a great way to do it. Just throw it out there. It's like fishing, you know. If they're not biting, well, go on to the next thing. So yeah, that looks like a neat. What, by the way, what recorders do you guys use? Just a curiosity on your equipment.
The one I have is the RCA, the VR2230. I also have the older version of the RCA, Nancy, our case coordinator, and my fantastic better half. She puts up with me because we won't go there. But that has the Olympus. I forget what model number it is. Scott, Don, I think you guys use the RCA as well, don't you? If I'm not mistaken, I just don't know the model number.
I use Olympus, but we put our IRs are all RCAs.
Yeah, I haven't used I've got like one RCA recorder in my inventory, but my case manager Spencer Hughes, he has an RCA recorder, and I don't know the model number of this. So we used it in the Truckee investigation, Truckee Hotel, about 2 years ago. And what was really neat was that recorder had the ability to start itself up at a set time. It had an alarm function that would turn itself on, and I thought that was the neatest thing.
Yeah.
And I just wish that we had that kind of capability, you know, with you know, all digital recorders. Kind of major hint to all any of the manufacturers who may be listening. Who knows? That would be really appreciated, you know, to have that, you know, auto capability to turn it on. We put it in this room where it came on at 2:45 in the morning and ran to 4, and it turned itself off, and we got some great evidence out of that. But, I mean, does any of yours have that capability with the RCAs you have?
Mine doesn't.
Yeah. It seemed like they just had this one model that, for whatever reason, they threw that in there, and you've never seen it again. And it's like, my God, that's just a really neat thing to have. You know, I mean, how often would you – I mean, wouldn't that be neat to be able to just go in and run a set time spread? You know,
yeah.
And not have to go shut it down or let the batteries run out. You just
yeah.
It just turns itself on and does its thing, and then it's over.
Yep.
And you can plan it out, you know.
I think that'd be great. That'd be fun. Especially if the battery,
yeah.
Just, without the battery, solar-powered. Hey, that's right. It's solar-powered digital voice recording. So that'd be good.
Well, I think I'm going to write some letters, because I use Sony gear quite a bit, and I've also got the H1. And H2 recorders, and those have got, they're like a high end audio, and I've had some good luck with them. But again, you know, you pay all that money and you're not getting this little simple capability. I just think it would be cool.
Yeah, I've been eyeing them up.
What's that?
I've been eyeing them up.
Okay, well, here we go. We're going to play Scott and Lisa. So, what happened on this particular one?
Actually, just asked to talk to somebody, and I heard my name's Scott, and I said, "Did you just say Scott?" And I think it actually says it again or something, and then Lisa says, "Can you say my name?" And does.
Okay. So, and was it the same female voice responding?
I think so.
Okay, here we go. The Scott and Lisa Junior League.
Wow.
That was an immediate response, too.
I heard that. I heard both of them. I was like, wow. I mean, you guys are getting some high-quality stuff. I mean, you know, geez, you guys are great. I mean, that's – I got to play that again. We got to hear that again. This is too good. Here we go.
Your eyes.
That was really amazing is that I actually heard it, too.
Oh, you actually heard it with your own ears.
Yeah,
she actually, that has happened a number of times on our investigations where we've, even people who aren't clairaudient have heard things. It doesn't happen often. Have you guys had, are any of you clairaudient or have you had those kinds of experiences where you've heard things and other people haven't? And
I do EVPs and stuff through the WavePad. I can pick up a lot more stuff than other people do. And, you know, sometimes they send stuff to me and I pick more stuff up. I don't know if it's just I got a better ear for that kind of stuff or what, because I know Mike has problems with hearing anyways, but sometimes he'll send me stuff and I'll clean it up. But I don't know if that's really anything.
Yeah, I really believe that what happens when we go out and investigate, especially if you're very much into this, you know, not only from the equipment and all the technology standpoint, but if you look at it from the other side of the spectrum and say, okay, why are they here? What's the, you know, there's spiritual reasons they're here, and you try to pay attention to that in kind of a balanced way. I just think that proximity to the paranormal with the right attitude and intentions tends to kind of develop abilities, you know, that you know, either they were latently there or it just by repeated experience, you suddenly start having these things happen to you. It just seems like, you know, I've talked to a number of investigators who've had the same stories. You know, they started off having some mild psychic ability and the next thing you know, they're really kicking ass. I mean, they're really able to do some amazing things after a year. Have you guys, with regard to you, all of you here, would you say that you've had more development of your abilities if you've had them before, or do things happen to you more often now that you're doing this work? I mean, you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I'm going to say both. I can sort of tell when something's around, whereas before I couldn't, and I do have a lot more happen to me, it seems, as we go.
That's the same way as me. There's been times we're in different places. I forget where we were at the one time, but as all three of us, we walk into to this one room, and I walk in, it's like, holy Toledo, what's, and it's like just blew me away. The feeling in there was like really, I don't know, it was just weird, and it was cold. I mean, again, this is one of them times in the middle of summer, you know, the heat's dripping, it's hot, the sweat's dripping off of you and everything like that. And I was just like, froze. And then Don and Scott remembered, and she was at the time. The four of us went in that room, and we all just, after it was over, it's like, we all looked at it and almost like simultaneously said, did you feel that? It was like,
hey. Yeah.
It was something. You know, I don't claim to be terrible or anything, but yeah, I think it's tending to have, now it seems like it's sharpened our skills, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I just really think that you know, even if you don't quote have the spiritual bent per se, if it just seems to be a proximity thing, and the more you're exposed to it, the more these things happen. But you know, I've noticed too, and I've had some confirmation from dealings with the other side on this, you know, with the kind of work I do, they really warn you about going too far with that. You know, there's a balance to be struck, you know, because it can make you ill. You know, and I have nothing to support this, you know, but I really do think that, when I really got looking at the caseloads that we were doing, with GRI in the very, you know, in the beginning years, and we really got into it, we kind of went overboard. We were having a lot of trouble supporting that, and we were ending it. Everybody was getting sick, and I scaled it back to about twice a month, you know, for investigations to what we could support and what I felt we could deal with, you know, with actual field experience. Now, how soon are you guys going out on your investigation?
I already believe in that because one of our investigators, she is working on her clairvoyance and whatnot, and I love investigating with her because when she starts to feel sick and has a headache, something's going on.
Yeah,
that's how it affects her.
What do you, that's the kind of thing we were experiencing, and people were ending up having just these strange feelings, sensations, illness. Sometimes, you know, they would go outside and retch. I mean, it would just depended on the investigation and what we were running up against. I usually was able to handle it pretty well until until October of last year. I went into Preston Castle and I came out of there. That was the one that really freaked me out, was Preston, because it was just so awful in there. A horrible, horrible energy. It's like what you guys were talking about when you first set foot in the room and you go, "What's this?" And there's just some places, man, that really get your goat, and that one got me. Have you ever been scared on an investigation, any of you guys?
I don't want to say scared, but me and Scott were in a basement. What was that, Farmer's Hope, I believe? Getting ready to start an EVP session. I had my back to an old third floor dry stack section of the basement that only had two water heaters in it. And immediately, upon turning my back to that door, I felt like something was going to pull me in there. Every fiber of my being was telling me to get out. So I stepped aside and I said, "Scott, you stand here." And he physically got sick. I had to help him up out of the basement.
Yeah. Have you ever witnessed, anything like an attack or anything like that?
We did see a client get scratches on his back. He was getting this happen.
How extensive were those?
If I would take my fingers and I would, if you have a shirt on and I would push real hard on your back,
yeah.
Like red rays, marks, not like physically bleeding, but that type of thing.
Yeah, I've witnessed an actual tackling.
Yeah, you told it last time. That's right.
Yeah, that one got my attention as to what they're capable of. Because, I mean, where I'm going with it, yeah, we talked about it last time, but, what other physical phenomena have you seen them do? I mean, have they thrown things? Have you witnessed anything levitate, anything like that?
I haven't. Boy, I'd like to see that.
I'm willing to see that as well. like as we talked about last week, the only thing I've had, and it wasn't really anything that would scare the heck out of me, but what definitely blew my mind is when I said before about having my bandana on, and again, we were at the Riverfront Bar and Lounge in Wrightsville down in York County, and been sitting in the basement, and I had the bandana, my bandana left lifted up. The only thing that really got anywhere was Nancy was sitting here beside me at the same time, and she had what, like I said last week, what felt like a spitball or something being shot at her.
And, yeah.
That kind of caught her off guard. It's so much that things will scare us, but, you're sitting there expecting one thing, and bam, it just does the opposite, and then you jump, it's like, wait a minute, what happened here? So, we've been lucky. I mean, I'm not saying it will happen, I'm not saying it won't, but hopefully we're prepared for if it does. And we're not going out to look for it either, definitely.
Yeah.
We're in the business of running two things in another way.
Yeah, we're a different breed.
Yeah, we give it a fair amount of respect, but we've also seen, some of the things that can go on, and I took some time to really assess things after that one, thing with Preston. It really got my attention. But there was another one. I'm trying to remember the name of this place down near Death Valley. Oh goodness gracious! I'm going to forget the name. It's a real famous hotel down near the gateway to Death Valley, Amargosa Hotel and Opera House. And I was there in September last year, and that was one that I actually got poked very hard in the ribs, and I just come out of this alleyway that they have on the right side where they take ghost groups through, and I was taken in by Maury Moots, and she's been on numerous paranormal shows, And she took me in. She's a friend of mine, and she wanted to see how I'd react. And I took three steps in there and went, okay, there's something. There's like a really mean guy down at the end of the hall, and that's what I felt. And sure enough, she tells me some of the story. You know, and I didn't know any of this going in. Later on, we finished the whole thing, and we're sitting outside, and we're just sitting out. You know, there's like a big the Amargosa is kind of a weird thing. It's kind of laid out like a big C, if you will. And in the center, there's this whole like open field, and we were just sitting on kind of at the outskirts of that field, and we're talking. And next thing I know, I feel this cold breeze go through, and then wham, I get this finger, and it felt like there was a needle on the end of it, and it just hurt like heck for a second, and I'm going, ow, what the hell? And she tells me, oh yeah, that's real common, you know. Thanks for warning me, you know. But I don't know. I'm trying to get my switchboard back. That's why I'm kind of bleeding a little time here. My switchboard's giving me trouble tonight. Okay, it's back now. And I uploaded your file, my friend. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I'm looking here to see if we got it, if it's done its post-processing yet. Okay, here it is, EVP Don's name. All right, so let's lead in with that. We've got it. We're going to play that again. So let's lead in with the story behind that, saying Don's name again.
Okay, as Scott, I believe, was said earlier, him and Don have always ride together to the investigations. And in this case, again, Nancy and I were already in the basement, which Scott thought Don was going down there with Susie, and he was on the first floor. Anyhow, Scott turns around and says, about telling me the name of the investigator that I came with.
Right.
And if you listen, and this is a double response in this case, as a matter of fact. And you hear the first time, you hear Kent, first floor. And at that time, that's where Don was. Now, the second one, Don's full name. So if you want to go ahead and play it, you guys
yep.
will see what I'm talking about. Listeners can hear, too.
And this is on the ghost box, right? Is what the,
yep.
What the okay, so here we go.
Right now, I think he's down in the basement. Down in the basement. Ask for the plan here. You get it? What's the name?
Wow.
Use the language, sorry.
Wow. That was cool.
Yeah. That wasn't the ghost box saying the F word.
Man, no, I didn't even, I would have said that, hell, but I was just blown away. I'm going, holy crap, that thing is really talking to you. I mean.
I can't really say his whole name, Donald Green, that just floored me.
Now, have you ever had, you know, do you have like different spirits that you've worked with that remembered you guys from, you know, prior investigations, that, you know, like cases that you've returned to? Have they remembered? You know, they like remembered.
Back to the junior league, so we'll find that out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean.
Yeah, we're going back in May.
Yeah, I just I've noticed in our cases we've had it where we've developed relationships with these spirits, and you know, they do remember us and they call us by name. You know, sometimes they'll just call us names that we remember, you know, over and over again. But, you know, I don't know if it's a personal thing, but anyway, but that's like a great EVP. I mean, would you guys, is that in the top three of the ones you picked up?
Yeah, for me. Yeah. That evidence out of the bed and breakfast, too. So.
Okay. Well, that is a great one. I'll tell you what we're going to do, we're getting to the top of the hour, 8:58. We're going to go ahead and take a brief break. I'm going to run up and grab some coffee, and this will give everybody a chance to go do what they've got to do. We won't go into the biologicals, but we'll go ahead and take about a five-minute break and then come back and wind it up, and we've got plenty more to play here. So you're listening to, if I can find my music here, good Lord, I've got so many EVPs, I can't find my music. Okay, this is for Jeannie. Out there in Georgia, and for everybody else, a little bit of country music, and we love our country music in California, too. So a little less talk, a lot more action here, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. You're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. ¶¶
nothing I could say ever seemed to matter. So I took a little dive just to clear my head. I saw a flashing neon up ahead. It looked like a place to find some satisfaction with a little less talk and a lot more action. Drunk on the stew, tried to mess with my head, but I didn't even listen to a word he said. I knew somewhere amid all this distraction was a little less talk and a lot more action. Little less talk, if you please, a lot more loving is what I need. Let's get on down to the main attraction with a little less talk and a lot more action.
Sunday night here, Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, Soul Stream. Got Ghost Hunters Incorporated, my good buddies back in the eastern part of these United States are with us tonight. And we've been playing EVPs and doing a little bit of reminiscing about cases and, you know, openly wondering about different aspects of the paranormal. So it's been a great show. Got a full chat room tonight. I mean, we are kicking it tonight. And it's good to be back in the driver's seat here. Studio A is at full power. Yes, we're back in the saddle and things are moving here. The Broken Tree Ranch has slightly fewer broken trees. I was hauling trees around by the face today. So, it got the nice smell of burnt oak all around here, and I hear that you guys are still making the margaritas in the background there. That's pretty good. Nobody's responding. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. GHI, come in. Come in.
Yeah,
are you guys
here.
There? All right. Well, welcome back. Hello. 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 Okay, we are back, and I hope everybody had a good tinkle time or whatever they needed to do. I was thinking about that as I was going up to get coffee. I mean, that is an amazing EVP, recording. That is like right up there. I'd say that's not just the top three. That's probably your top one to get that kind of a response.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you got something to be proud of there. I mean, now, you know, when you do your investigations, it kind of leads me up to something there. How do you guys actually do investigations? Do you go in and, you know, take the kind of the middle approach and kind of like TAPS does, and you're looking for evidence and that's it? And then at the end you do like a report and then you give a reveal, or how do you operate?
We do
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do about when I first started. We were going in trying to debunk everything. That just got us nowhere. We decided just to go on a different approach. And basically what you said is what we were doing.
So now, how has that changed over the years? I mean, Alan, you know, and it's kind of directed at you, is from where you're at now as an organization to where you started. You know, I mean, we talked a bit, you know, in past shows about how, you know, the type of equipment you were using and, you know, how different it is today. But from your methods and means of doing investigations, what's different and what's changed, and what's some of the most profound stuff you've learned in all of those years?
Well, first of all, John, as far as anything actually changing, I guess basically the equipment has changed and it's a lot easier now compared to what we did before. Like I said before, some of the stuff we did back in them days, instead of the good old-fashioned EMF detector, we had a little compass, you know. I could use it like a Boy Scout compass or something like that that you would use to find your way around. And we'd use that to detect EMF fields, of course. You didn't have the IR thermometer, so the best thermometer you had was your hand, you know, sticking out, waving around like you're some kind of maniac or something, or the cold spot. For documentation, we had the old notebook out there, you know, the mean notebook, writing everything down. And hopefully you had somebody in your group that could do shorthand, because if you had to do longhand, well, you'd be writing forever. I guess the other thing which some of the older guys like myself would remember is the good old-fashioned portable cassette recorder, when you had your anywhere from four to eight D batteries. So,
oh, my God.
So plugging all that around was kind of fun, and at some times when you were going through wooded areas, kind of bulky. But as far as now, it's pretty much the same, except now it's easier. You have, of course, the good old Internet, to where you can email everyone in your team saying, okay, this is what I got in this EVP, this is what I got in this photo, this is what I got in this video. And you can sit there and analyze the evidence a whole lot quicker. Sometimes with your EVPs, you can identify your classes, your Class A, Class B, Class C, whatever, with the help of your team a whole lot quicker, where before what normally takes about 2 weeks would probably take, I'd say, probably close to three, maybe sometimes a month or longer, depending. So technology has really helped as far as getting back to our clients and providing a faster service for our clients and saying, this is what we got or this is what we don't have. So the technology, it helps a lot. So we've come a long way since them days.
Now, that brings up another point. How much evidence do you kind of limit yourself to, so you can realistically get the case, you know, moved through in a reasonable time frame?
That depends on the case. It depends. Usually our cases will last anywhere from about 4 to 8 hours, depending. So it depends on the case. It's like, we usually have, I guess, and Scott and Don can correct me, but we usually have, you figure, one case we had four IR cameras up and running. So that one, I think that was roughly about 6 hours. So you figure each camera has 6 hours, and depending on each person with the voice recorders, as far as running EVPs, that could be 2 to 6 hours. So it depends. So you're probably talking, anywhere, I'd say maybe 25 to 40 hours of evidence, wouldn't you guys say, depending on our cases, right?
Yeah.
But you guys, you know, and this is a real common problem with a lot of paranormal groups, and it happened in my own team, trying to get investigators rounded up is kind of like herding cats. it's like you do the case and everybody's gone, and you're the poor case manager is going, where's my evidence? I'm trying to get this case out the door and get a review to do. And then it's like trying to get them all rounded up. I mean, it sounds like you guys really have a good ethic with the way you work, you know, on these cases. I mean, they tend to get out the door, it sounds, pretty quick with what you do.
Well, we try, and I can't, we're a good team, and I'm proud of my guys and gals, and sometimes sometimes we get a little ahead of ourselves, and so as we said before, that's why we tried to limit to two cases a month, because that way, by the time you do your prelims and everything, and the actual investigations, why, you know, you get a little burnout, so, you know, and I know nobody wants to get burned out. I know I don't, and so I try and look out for my guys and gals. Well, I got a good team, and we got a good team, and that's the way I want to keep it. And every now and then, well, the past couple of years, we usually take off, depending on what the rest of the team wants to do. We'll usually take off between, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Sometimes we'll do a couple in between, but, you know, we're a good one. It's a good bunch of people to work with, and I'm glad they all decided to choose us. I can't say enough, and have looked at our team enough.
How many in your group? I mean, at this, you know, like currently, you know, how many folks you got?
A dozen, right?
Yeah, we got a dozen, and at any point in time, we have anywhere up to about 10 investigators at one shot, and so that's 10 to 12 people, depending on the case.
Yeah, and then you do, yeah, and you, of course you do, yeah, because you've been inviting me to go back there forever, and I'm going to get back there one of these days. I will do it. I'm dealing with a sick father right now, but when the time comes, I'll be able to get out there. But you really reach out to other groups and bring them in and rotate them in from what I gather.
Yeah, we do. We like. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. Listen, you're saying about coming back, we'll have to get you back when you decide to come back. We'll get you a Gettysburg case. About that.
Oh, say again. I mean, you cut out now, there. I'm sorry.
Instead of when you come back, I'll try to set you up for a Gettysburg case with us.
Okay.
To the battlefield.
Civil War battlefield.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm up for that because I'd like to I would like to actually see just what I feel, and you know, it's one thing to bring a recorder and all that, but I just like to get the feel of the place and just see what I sense out there. You know, first go out without any equipment whatsoever and just stand out there and just see what's the impressions I get. Everybody that tells me about, you know, Gettysburg and the different places like that, say they come away and it's a really profound feeling there.
Yeah, they're, in my opinion, they're still fighting the war there, no doubt.
Yeah, and there's sightings of the, you know, like I saw on, excuse me, one of the paranormal shows recently, I saw where there was like regiments or actually seen whole groups out practicing battle, you know, battle drills, things like that. And people see these guys and it's like they look right at you and they acknowledge you. But they just keep doing what they're doing. I mean, have you seen that? I mean, do you have stories of that kind of thing that happened or, that you're aware of or have had your own experiences?
I was driving a truck and on a delivery. We were like just about all over Pennsylvania. And we were on one delivery and we had a young boy. I forget, I think it was a Lowe's or Home Depot, one of them stores. But anyhow, he found out we were paranormal investigators, and we got talking, you know, swabbing stories, and he was a Civil War reenactor, and he was out at Gettysburg at one point, and he was telling us that he was sitting there, and he just ammo, and he said about going back to get some, and there was a young gentleman beside him handing him the powder and the little way they made their I guess their rounds with the wadding and everything, and
yeah.
Between that little the projectile, and then like. And when he turned around and said thank you, he was gone. And he said when he first had it handed to him, it was like, looked brand spanking new. Well, he didn't think anything of it. Stuck it in his pocket, and when he got home, that round was all rusty and looked like, newer, like if you dig it up out of the ground, you know, with your metal detectors and stuff like that. He said it just blew him away because the guy was right there. 1 minute, hands it to him, goes ahead, and it's like, okay, sticks it in his pocket, and he gets home, and then thinks about it and pulls it out. And there's, you know, it's old. And he said, check from the, you know, the Civil War time. So he said that just blew him away. And so I'm hoping to see stuff like that someday, you know, because I think that'd be cool to actually sit there and see it. There's been other reports from what I've heard, different people, lights in the woods. Scott and Don can tell you on one case we were at, here's a private residence. Our clients were showing us pictures that they had from, I think it's Devil's Den, if I'm not mistaken. It was three soldiers out there. Where you had like one on each end, looked like they were helping a fellow soldier. So it's interesting. And we go out there. Another case that Scott and Don probably would like to mention, like, because we're going out there in July again, that they probably like to get you on. I know I would be out there in Bedford County in Saxton, PA, where the the Revolutionary War that I was talking about last week with Rangers. That's going to be an interesting case too.
Where was this at? Because you broke up just at the end there.
Okay, it's out in Saxton, Pennsylvania, Bradford County.
Okay. So when you, what is the story with that? I mean, what sorts of things happen out there?
Again, in the 1700s, as a matter of fact, the exact date is July 16th, 1780. It was the time during the Revolutionary War when the frontier was used by Columbus to protect the settlers and stuff. But anyhow, there's this one guy, his name was Captain William Phillips, and he had a small band of small militia to help defend the forts. Well, anyhow, at one point, he was getting reinforcements. Well, by the time the reinforcements got there, Captain Phillips and his son had been captured by the Shawnee Indian and taken somewhere from Canada as live POWs because they were working with the British. And
yeah.
The rest of his men had been tortured to the point, according to legend, to where they were hung up on wooden crosses, scalped, tortured to where supposedly disemboweled, as well as, in some cases, they claim peeled like a banana.
Oh, my God. And so there's and I guess there's serious haunting associated with that.
As a matter of fact, I was in contact with one paranormal team, the founder of one paranormal team, which is out that area, and he told me, he said, when you go out there, he said, it's almost like a real hostile feeling. So it's my kind of place. I'm sure Scott and I will agree.
We are truly brothers. That's the kind of case that I like, going out to a place like that. I grew up in the Sierra Nevadas, and we had, Indian wars out here. Same kind of things happened. And, I grew up running around, past Paradise, California. That was in the news like the last year or so. There was a big fire up there, made the national news. And I grew up all through that country. And I've had, my whole life, I had experiences when I was fishing. I'd be on the West Branch of the Feather River. And you would feel people walking with you, or you would feel stared at. And sometimes it would be these hostile, like something was really ticked off you were there. And it would put the hair on you, up. And especially when it's getting towards dark and you're trying to get back, and it's not the suggestibility thing, because I can handle walking around in the dark in the mountains. That's no problem for me. But you could actually feel some of these things out there, and they're really ticked off. And whatever, I've never been able to find out who these people were that I had these early experiences with. But, I mean, you've got the advantage. I mean, you know the history of this. But, God, I mean, to have some of the kind of killing yet they did. I mean, good Lord, peeling people like bananas. I mean, is there any like EVPs or evidence that people have gotten of some of this?
There has been some. The one team, Martinsville Paranormal Research Team, they have a website about some of the EVPs they got. Now, they do have a couple pictures with some missing stuff in there, which, they said about, like any other team, like I do it too as well, pictures where you sit there and say, okay, this was the weather, this and this today, not a cloud in the sky, et cetera. Because one case we had, Nancy got a picture like that, which was in a cemetery, and kind of blew me away. So there's some interesting pictures, and they have some EVPs on their website as well that I kind of listened to and was like, okay. Let's go do it. And like I said, it was like a feeling like, I guess the best way to put it is, you're not really welcome here. Get the heck out of here. You're not welcome. So, like I said, again, my kind of investigation, I'm high. I can't. So I'm ready to get it done. And who knows what we come up with. Maybe later on post it on our website and maybe some good video on YouTube as well.
Yeah, that's something I want to get more into is some of the video work. And, I've got quite an investment in my gear. It's just getting back into the game. The video, I've got some of the UV IR cameras and things like that really, full spectrum What kind of video have you guys been working with, and what do you, what are some of your successes with video?
Go ahead, guys. Throw them out there.
The video cameras, we have IR cameras, but we get good evidence for the heights, too. So many heights. We have probably three all together now that we use. And like I said last week, we actually caught good EVPs with Ghost Box with Jasper with one of them. So, they're good for EVPs also. Some people don't realize that.
Yeah, I've caught, I actually had a really interesting EVP that I picked up on a Sony HD, it was a 60 gigabyte hard disk type video unit. Has 42 hours of capacity. And I was, I did get this interesting EVP on a case up there in Pilot Hill. It's actually just above Coloma, right where the gold was discovered in 1849 out here. And I'm in this. I went down in this basement, and this is friends of my family whose house is haunted. And we go in there, and I was running this video. And when I came back, I kept hearing something way down low in the track, and I raised it up, with my audio gear, and was able to pull this EVP out. And it was this guy telling me to get the hell out of there. And he was really ticked off, and he sounded like an old miner. I mean, he had he was kind of a Western drawl. We got a lot of guys from Missouri, and that's what he had. It's like a Missouri drawl, and so we have these Missouri people, and a lot of Irish came out here. So you never know what you're going to get. But this guy was cussing me out and wanting me to go out, and I caught it on a video audio track. It was the wildest thing. I mean, I didn't know that could happen, but I had another one. Excuse me. At a ghost town, I'm trying to remember the name of this. It's one of the best ghost towns out here, and it's down south, Bodie. I took the full spectrum camera out on its maiden voyage, and we did some IR video. Came back home, ran the analysis, and we had a woman's voice on EVP that was tagging along with us, making commentary about everything we were talking about. And I've got to find this stuff and play it. I'd like to do a show of some of my EVPs. I have everybody else do. I got to play some of my stuff. It'd be kind of cool. Absolutely. But it was the wildest thing. And I was really surprised. And it turns out that the full spectrum camera from Monotronics is a really great EVP capturing machine. Who knew? So just a little word of the wise. Anyway.
Okay. Well, we thought about that's another thing. A lot of people might wonder about things like, can we charge for services and stuff? And basically, that's no, we don't. All of our team members have their own income. They all work, and so everything we have, our equipment, our time, and everything comes out of our own pockets. So. And it's basically the thrill. It's, I guess for me, anyways, it's the thrill of the hunt, as the saying goes. The thrill to be able to sit there, and hopefully someday, look at these skeptics and your top rate scientists and whatever, say, "See, I told you there is life after death." And you no longer have to worry about somebody saying, "Well, gee, it's a story. It's made up. It's in their head." And showing these guys, just see. Life after death, it does exist. So, and again, we love it.
That's exactly right. I mean, we've been running GRI for 5 years now, and it's exactly that way with us. We pay out of our pocket. There's no, I run basically, the whole show out of my deep pockets, which I'm kind of done acquiring gear for a while, but. I've got a considerable set of capabilities. And the thing is when I sat down at the end of last year after all the sickness and stuff, and I thought, where do I take GRI? And I had the question I asked myself was, have I proved to myself that this stuff is for real? And the answer was yes, this stuff is real. These things do happen. And repeatedly over and over again, personal experiences, experience on tape, videos, friends, close friends having experiences, this kind of thing. Now I think, I'm not so much trying to prove it to anybody. I think this, that if I were to describe where I want to go with GRI this year is to just enjoy myself with it and go out and really have fun on the cases. What's your goal this year for GHI?
Well, mine personally is just to sit there and do what we've been doing, go out and have satisfy our clients and get everyone, or tell you don't, just do what we've been doing, and hopefully it'll keep on going. So that's what I want to, you know, that's what I'm personally liking to see as our team just move forward and just do what we've been doing. I'm sure, or I might be wrong too, but hopefully the rest of the guys agree and the gals, so. That's basically all I want. So, Don, Scott, you chime in there.
It's a little hot for me.
Well, hey, we've got 5 minutes left, and I'm seeing extensions requests here. Are you guys up for another half hour, and do you want to continue for another half hour?
I'm game.
Absolutely.
Why not?
Okay, I'll tell you. All right, we've got a bunch of EVPs in here, and I'll tell you what, we'll take a brief break. Give everybody another little bit of potty time. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And let's see, let me find some music. We'll play the Bumper Arizona. So I'm going to go ahead and take us into break, extend the show for another half hour, and we'll keep on going. So this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, and we've got Ghost Hunters Incorporated with us tonight. We're going to extend for a half hour and satisfy our listeners out there. So here we go, guys. A little bit of music from one of my favorite places, Arizona. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and I stepped outside to just check out my fire outside, and I ended up, I was walked out just to make sure. I was burning all day, and some creature went running right by me, and I just had the holy you-know-what scared out of me, and I think I lost a few years of my life. I mean, this thing just, it just, every hair on me went, I was going, holy, you know, yeah. Anyway, and I ended up throwing rocks at it, and I was cursing a little bit. So I've just had the holy hell scared out of me outside Studio A, and so I'm back. Anyway, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We've extended the show. We got 29 minutes remaining here. We've got the guys from Ghost Hunters Incorporated with us. We're going to open the call center here. 646-478-0377 for any calls for the guys and about what they have done in their lives and different things and the types of investigations they do and all that. Now, I see Mystic Shava in the chat room has sitting there saying something, and it's jumping right by me. I think it was a question for one of you guys. She's saying that you guys have great EVPs. I have a question. And then I don't see the question. So, Mystic, go ahead and put something in there as far as a question for the guys, and I'll try to get that related to them. Oh, we do have a caller out there. Okay. I see a – here it is. 616. I'm going to bring you on. Here we go. 616, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. It's me. It's Kava.
Okay. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. I wanted to ask the guys, do they think that they're, well, okay, let me ask it this way. What do you think your great success is attributed to, your area, your equipment, your intuitive abilities? I mean, what do you think it is?
I think it's a little bit of everything, to tell you the truth.
So do I.
John says the sticks were pretty lucky.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I really don't.
John says we're pretty lucky.
I think we just get lucky.
I don't think it's luck because it seems to be pretty consistent. I mean, and it's really good.
Well, thank you. Well, like I said, I wouldn't use the term great success. I just. And I'm sure Don and Scott would agree, as well as any other member on our team. It's just, what's the old saying? Go right place, right time. So that's basically all that would be, in my opinion. So as far as great success, just a roll of the dice.
Yeah, well, when I first joined the group, I never expected we'd get this much evidence. Never in a million years.
It must just be a combination of your attitudes, which is really great. You know, you're attracting really good opportunities to you, and you know, you have a good mindset about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it's awesome. Congratulations. Keep doing it.
All right.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You.
Thanks, Shava. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Hey, Don, can I ask you a question really quick?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. I might answer one or two.
I wanted to know what the music was you were playing at the break. It was so beautiful.
That is a very hard-to-find track. I actually had to get that on audio cassette only. And I was able to, you know, transcribe that and get it into digital MP3 format. And it's a from Valley of the Sun Publishing. And I'm trying to remember the guy's name in Arizona. Ugh, God, I wish Elizabeth was still here because she remembers his name. He had all these different artists working for him out of Valley of the Sun Publishing. And it was and he lives in Malibu and he goes back and forth to Sedona. Oh, I see that. Okay, Kath, thanks. I see that. Yeah. I'm juggling IM chats and shows. And, so anyway, that's what that – and it had to do – it's from a video that he did called Sedona. And it's really hard to find this album. And I actually had to – spend $25 for the cassette just to get it last year because I loved that song so much. So yeah, you have good taste because it's a really great song.
Well, I think I've heard it before. I probably saw the video because it was so familiar to me. And when you just now said that he did it on some video about Sedona, I think I might have seen it.
Yeah, if you go out, I'm trying to remember the guy's name, and it's totally escaping me right now. He's a real famous New Age paranormal guy. He's the guy that brought, got Sedona on the map.
I know who you're talking about. He's an astrologer I know who you're talking about. He did a reading for me about a month ago.
Yeah, he was contracting all these different music videos out and doing different things with New Age music, and I just loved this one so much it was just like I had to get it, this one particular song, and all the music on that tape is great, but this one song was the whole reason I got that tape. I was willing to spend $25 just to get that. And
I love it. Do a professional chart for me, so maybe I'll see if he'll throw it in.
I actually contacted him to try to get it, and he didn't even have it in any of his warehouses at all. It was a difficult thing to get, so I found it of all things on Amazon. So I got the last tape of it off of Amazon, and the only other place I know you can get it is from some supply house in New Zealand. So, if you just send me a note, send me a note through VTR or Facebook me, and I'll see that, I can get get you the right information on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
And
she's still here?
Yeah.
You asked the question about these guys, the success they have. There's one other thing that I think that they're very humble. That's number one. And number two, they've been around a long time. I mean, they've been around since the 70s. These guys were doing paranormal before anybody knew what the hell it was. The reason they're so good is because they've got experience, and, they eclipse, my little group by a country mile with experience. So that's why we have them on so often, because they're great teachers and they have a lot to say that it's valuable. So that's just my
thesis. I can tell that. Yeah, I can tell that. They do talk with a lot of experience. So, yeah.
Yeah. Alan has been at it a very long time, and, he runs his team a particular way. And it's kind of the example how it should be done. So, anyway, we're having a love fest for you guys here, just in case you're listening.
That's
great. Oh, they have a question in the chat room, too.
What's that?
A question for them in the chat room as well.
Where is that at? Is it Texas Gal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Texas Gal asks, and this is for all you guys. I love to watch Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International. I'm curious why they don't try to help the spirit cross over. Now, what's she asking? Is she asking why Ghost Hunters and Ghost Hunters International doesn't cross them over? I would guess that. I'll reformat the question. Have you guys ever crossed any spirits over, or would you even try to do that?
We asked the question, if maybe we could get an EVP of what we could do to help them. If we would ever get a response, we most certainly would try.
Do you have, training in that? I mean, have you actually done anything like that?
No, I don't. We've never done it. We've never gotten a response.
No, none of this. Plus, in addition to what Don said, I believe personally that you shouldn't spend a whole lot of time, maybe 10 minutes at the most, due to the simple fact, first of all, like any other being, whether you're in a physical body or not, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. If not, well, so be it. They're not going to do it. So I would say when the time comes, if for anybody, if you're going to try and help a spirit cross over, don't spend any more than 10 minutes. Because, again, like I said, they're like anybody else. If they're not going to cross over, they're not going to cross over. And come hell or high water, you're not going to make them do anything they don't want to do. It's that simple. Now, along the ideas of helping people cross over, I know some people might think, well, okay, what about cleansings and stuff like that? cleansings per se, we would leave up to a minister or your local clergy. Now, there are times that the customer will request it, that you know, smudge the house, go through the house using a sage to smudge the house to remove any kind of negativity. But that's only at the client's request. And I learned that years ago from way back when, just to give you a little idea. I'm Western Cherokee, so that's how I learned to do all that.
Yeah, I've had, with our group, we've had a number of experiences with it and with doing crossovers. But it's really been, we treat it the same kind of thing you guys do, clergy, or we bring somebody in that's experienced, if possible. I've actually got an EVP of a spirit's actually over at Marshall Gold Discovery Park asking us to, literally begging us to cross them over. And when we came back, when we heard this, we went back and we showed them how they could cross themselves over and referred them, you know, gave them a technique to do that. And they seemed very appreciative. So it's, you know, it's something not to, you know, you don't take it lightly, you know, when you do, when you intervene like that. And you really don't know what you're dealing with either. I mean, it's just because they asked to cross over, you know, there's training. That's what clergy does. That's what they're trained in. You know, they know how to handle that a little better than we do. We tried, you know, our take on it was, if we can show you the way to go, then you can go deal with that and go to the right people. And we point them to funeral homes of all places. We found that we point them to a funeral home and say, okay, if you want to go there and then hook up with the clergy there, or get into maybe catch a ride on somebody else's light, because they're still, you know, their light's open for 10 days. That's kind of our thinking. Then they can cross over. And it was kind of a revelation when I found that information out and we started using it, and it seemed to work. So, you know, there's my 2 cents on it. So there.
Take that.
Take that. Disagree. Agreements, disagreements. I mean, Alan.
I agree.
Now from the Western Cherokee, you know, persuasion. I mean, what's the Cherokee view on this?
Basically, ever since I was young, I was taught to believe that the spirits are going to go in some form or another. Of course, we always thought there was no hesitation, but obviously I found that to be a little bit different as I got older. But as far as our belief, once you raise the body, I tell this to the other half all the time, that, you know, if something happened, God forbid, that I go before her, to sit there and take my ashes and just set it out, you know, take the highest place you can find, where do you stay there is, and just sprinkle my ashes. But I also tell her to look for a couple of my spirit animals, which one happens to be the hawk, mm-hmm. and the other is the wolf. So I tell her, if you see one of them, you'll know it's me, and keep looking, you know, that sort of thing. But I guess it's like anything else, basically, you know, like I said earlier, if you're going to go, you're going to go, if for whatever reason, which I believe part of our cases, as you heard last week with the Kirkpatrick EVP, that most of the time they hang around for a reason. They're not ready to go. Maybe it's whether due to a violent death of some sort, or maybe they just think they want to let the family members know. So until they accomplish what they want to accomplish, basically, like I said again, they're just going to hang around. So, you know, don't waste time on it. Get a clergy if you need to and take it from there.
Yeah. That's the sort of the thing we've picked up with this is, and I read a book, I'm trying to remember her name, Mary Summer Rain. You know, she's from the Colorado area, and she was a real big author in the 80s and 90s, and I think she's going to be writing some books again. So she's a really interesting lady, and she studied under an Indian teacher named No Eyes. And one of the things that she was big on was this whole notion of why spirits stay behind. And the basic theory was that people are basically composed of three things: mind, body, spirit. And when mind and body die, spirit's left behind, and all it has left is emotion. And that emotion can get caught up in thought patterns that are kind of self-destructive and kind of leave the it's not so much that they cross into like a barrier, you know, like from one realm to another and they go through a door. It's that their minds are holding them back. And that's the thing that's when they're begging to be crossed over, they're begging for help. It's almost like mental assistance, you know, and they just need that reassurance that they can make the jump, and then they can they can actually literally have the sight restored to them, you know, because they're literally operating with only one third of their what they were before, you know, in this physical body thing is suddenly gone, and they're in this other realm, but they're still holding on. So that's kind of the take we've had on it for a while. And, what's that?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's just the destruction of the physical vehicle. They just don't recognize it. And they're kind of, Noah's, the teacher, she said, they're stupid. That was like a really spiritual thing. They're stupid. You got to show them, and that's when you show them that they suddenly go. Oh, it's like this, this V8 moment. They go, oh, okay, I get it. And then suddenly, they can see the light, and literally, truly, they see the light, and then they can make their crossover. And so it's not like in Ghost Whisperer, the door opens, It's just all these other spirits who've had the realization and have accepted the fact that they're on the other side, you know. And it's a traumatic thing to die, you know. And even in the best of circumstances, and you have a lot of help doing it, from what I understand. So imagine the ones that just are on a highway and suddenly somebody gets killed, and then you know they're out of their body, and now they're going, what now, you know. Anyway, I've been going on and on with this, but I mean, are you getting kind of where I'm going with it? And I'm kind of throwing that out to the whole group room there.
Yep.
Hello. Okay.
Yeah, hello.
All right. And I'm sitting here, and part of the reason I was doing that is my browser has crashed very badly, and I'm trying to get things back here. I'm having. Alan was having the phone troubles, and I've got Firefox blowing all the hell here.
Alan
so,
jinxed them.
Yeah, I don't know what Alan did, man, but it's like Firefox is just going through these horrible crashes right now on my system. So I'm trying to see if anybody's got questions in the chat room, and it's restarting now. So I'm going to wait. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray that it comes back. Okay. Any more questions, Mystic? I think you're still on.
I don't have any more. I don't see any in the chat room right now.
Okay, so we'll just go on. We've got about just under 15 minutes left. Why don't we play some EVPs? We'll just keep going here. And I think we were at Junior League, Little Town Investigation. Did we play that last week, guys?
I think we did Little Town.
Okay.
Did we? I think we did.
We did. How about Riverfront? Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, Riverfront. We had the Kirkpatrick. And White Palms, Humming Woman. Now, I don't think we did White Palms.
No, we didn't.
All right. I'm going to start with the Humming Woman one. And then we got a few of the, three different ones from White Palms. Why don't we try the Humming Woman? What's that about?
This is... I was downstairs with, I'm not sure, Bill, I think, was with the investigation. And I went down to change the tape on my recorder until it ran out. And for me, walk from one room to the other, I didn't realize that I didn't actually hear it until I picked up on EVP. Sounds like a woman helping.
Okay. Well, we'll just go ahead and play it. Here we go. I heard a hmm. Is that it?
Yep.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That sounds like something that my friend Spencer got on a cabin out in the northern California And he got a woman actually singing, and she was sitting there humming and humming this song, and it was the spookiest thing ever. And it seems like something they just do. They like to just hum to themselves. That was pretty good. What was the reason you were doing this case?
Okay, one of the things, first of all, before I get into what about the White Palmman case, first of all, for everybody that's out there that's ever watched the TAPS crew on Ghost Hunters, years ago when they were out there, it was called the White Topton House or the Topton Hotel, and then it fell under new management, and for some time I'd been trying to get the team out there so we could do our own little investigation, you know, per se, as a real-world investigation. So anyhow, we finally got a hold, and we found out it was under new management, and we had told them, you know, that we'd like to do an investigation there and set up and ask when we could and what have you. So basically, some of the things he had said about, and Scott and Don could correct me on some of them in case my memory slips. One of the things at one point in the dining room, they had seen a shadow. If I remember right, it was a man moved from, I think it was left to right, to disappear into the wall where at one time there was a door. Some things in the bar, if I remember right, glasses and stuff were ringing in the bar. They hear stuff in the bar section. Some stuff was supposed to be in the kitchen. And what was it? Yeah, a little girl would be there with drinks and stuff. And this, they'd put out, what was it, Coke, if I remember? Yeah. They put out a glass of Coke on the bar and she would drink it. And of course, just, you know, along with the rest of the stuff, a little spirit girl. And there were some others I can't think of right offhand. So anyhow, we went out to investigate that. And some of the stuff, which we'll probably be going back there in June sometime, or follow up. So that's some of the cases, some of the normal stuff that they claim there. So that was a good case there. So I think at some point we had, good grief, we had a camera. Give me a hand here, Scott, Don. We had a camera in the basement, a camera in the cellar, camera in the bar, right? What's some of the other places?
Yeah, that's all we had, actually. So we had all high eights going. And what else? We have the bar covered with the IR. Yeah.
And what sorts of things happened there? I mean, personal experiences, anything like that?
I don't remember for that one. Yeah, I don't think I did for that one.
I was with the investigator, Sue, the investigator who did headaches and stuff, and we had a flashlight play in the basement.
Yeah.
Corn my eye, I saw shadow movement. Right as she asked the question, could you turn the light out? And I'm thinking, oh, my God. She's going to have to turn the light on. It's going to be standing right in front of me. But it wasn't.
Come to think of it, one thing we did have, we had a video, which can be seen on YouTube as well. If you're watching now, you have to look at the video. Now, we have the regular video, the way it was shot, and we have it slowed down. And so if you watch the video, you'll see, in the fast version, you'll see, like, what appears to be a white ball of light come up from the ground, and then come into the shape of like head and shoulders. So that was in the basement at the time, and Mike Morris, our assistant director, was in there doing, like Don was saying, about running the flashlight. We like to play with the flashlight a lot. We get a lot of responses with that as well. But he was doing that, and he sent me you know, the video that he had, because he was using a camcorder with night vision. I forget the model number, but he said to me, I'm looking through this, like, wait a minute. And I showed it to Nancy, and she said the same thing. She said, well, that's what it looked like. So I said, well, I got to send this back to Mike and the rest of the team, see if they can see too. Well, sure enough, everybody else saw it. So that was one of the things which kind of blew us away. And it also impressed our client as well. So that, again, can be seen up on YouTube.
Now I've got, tell me which ones are the best ones here, because we've got about 6 minutes left. But I've got White Palms, Can You See Me, and then I have another one that says I Want Them. Which one would be the good one to play?
Can You See Me is a good one.
Okay. All right, let's play that. And then
the same time down the basement too. I'm sorry, on the same time the helmet.
Okay. Well, we'll play that. Let's hit that one. Here we go. I didn't get that. Okay, I heard just something just really down in the fog there. It was just like a low voice. Is that kind of what you were picking up?
Yeah.
Okay. Since we're so short on time, I'm going to try to pack one more in here. I've got the York Theater.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Play the Yeah one.
Yeah, there's Alex, hey there, anyone here, hello, cold voice, hey Scott, which one should I play?
Hey Scott.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I got that, so here we go, hey Scott, and did you hear this, by the way? Okay, I'll just play it, here we go. That's pretty good. That's like really clear. I mean, was that that you just picked that up EVP afterwards, right?
Right.
Okay.
Play,
okay.
Do you have Alice? He says yeah. I mean, it's clear as day. Sounds like my son. It's a young child's voice. It's amazing.
What's that? The Alex one?
No, it's called Is That You? I See. Yeah, the one.
I got an Alex. Hey there. You want me to play that one? Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's just play the Hey There one. Alex, Hey There. Here we go. That is clear. I heard that.
Hey there.
Okay, well.
Do you have that one, John? The one that says, Is That You, I See?
And is that from which one? York Theater?
York Theater.
I don't have that one. I've got Anyone Here, Hello, and Cold Voice. Which of those two would you want?
Do the cold.
Okay, here we go. Cold voice. And this will be the last one tonight. Here we go.
Okay.
I told you off on that cold. I wasn't before, but I am now.
I think I heard something in there. Was that like a woman speaking?
Yeah, that was Lisa was talking off. First she says to her mom that she wasn't cold at first, but now she is cold. And then towards the end you hear the little kid's voice saying cold.
Yeah, I heard something, and I couldn't. It was at that like raise up in the volume, and you were just trying to.
You tried to
bring it out because I heard. Yeah, I was hearing a woman speaking, and I heard that one thing, and I wasn't sure what I was hearing. Now you guys, your website is
www.ghostcenterzine.net, and for our YouTube videos, they can go to youtube.com/ghosthunterzine, see some of our videos as well.
Okay, and if you are in the Pennsylvania area, you can go to that website, I'm sure, and if you have a haunt, you can get the guys from GHI. We'll be glad to come out, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, that was unanimous. So these guys have equipment, will travel. And really great having you on for these 2 weeks in a row and, playing all the EVPs. We'll definitely have you back and, be glad to do it again in the near future. So we're running low on time here. I'm going to do a real fast shout-out and then thank you guys. We've got Alan is Ghost Radio, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Daniel Adam, Eileen S., Eve One Heart, Gerber Daisy TM, Guest 22459, You're From France, Jeannie Marie, Matt Strong, Mystic Chava, Opens Wings with Hazel, Priestley Marie, Scott Wise, GHI, and he drinks a lot of beer. Okay.
You're right.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for coming on with us. It was just another great show, and thanks for doing the extension with us. It was a good time.
Sure. Pleasure.
Well, okay.
Thanks,
all right, guys. All right.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Have a good
all
night.
Right. You too.
Okay. See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We got 54 seconds remaining. We're going to go ahead and this Thursday do a soul stream if my father is not in a state of mind or needing any particular attention. I'll be able to do a show. So we're going to continue to put those shows out there and do it as we can. So look for us out there at that time. And we're going to go ahead and close the show down tonight. And thank you, and have a great week, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye now.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, you're listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio.